Good morning. We're going to be doing our reading in a little bit different order. So we're going to start off with 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 10, and it's from the New International Version. The incarnation of the Word of Life. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the Word of Life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Light and darkness, sin and forgiveness. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And now read Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. The believers share their possessions. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, Amanda and Jeremiah. We know Amanda and Jeremiah, don't we? In part because we may have been Amanda and Jeremiah, or we might have children or grandchildren who are Amanda and Jeremiah, who struggle to share everything. But once they catch on to it, they share everything. This is a story that's told by Robert Munsch, right? And it's not necessarily a Christian story, but when I was thinking about this passage from Acts this morning, I couldn't help but think about Amanda and Jeremiah. Because the apostles and the disciples and the early believers, they also, as was read, they shared everything. But I think as we think about those disciples and those apostles and the early Christians, there are going to be at least three questions that come to mind. And they each have to do with we share everything. So first of all, who is this we that we're talking about? With Amanda and Jeremiah, it's the we of their kindergarten class. We can imagine that there are a bunch of children there and their teacher that flutters around that says, we share everything. But it's not just those children. Those children are gathered at a school. And the school sits in a community. And the school is paid for by tax dollars that contribute to its construction and its ongoing maintenance. So even though Amanda and Jeremiah are thinking that the we is this we that's right here, that we actually has to include far more than just those two people that are right there. It has to include their parents. It has to include the other teachers. It has to include all of the taxpayers who are contributing to this school. And in fact, it's a public school, so in some ways it's owned by the community. The we is the people who have decided that it is a good idea to educate our children in such a way that when they're 5 or 6, they get to go to school. This is not a universal assumption through time or even in the world today. When I tell this story of Amanda and Jeremiah in Malawi, my Malawian friends and colleagues have no idea what I mean when I say kindergarten. It doesn't exist. And the percentage of children that get to go to school is very small. It's even much smaller who get to go to university. The idea of universal education that is somehow collectively we do this is not an assumption that is true and good everywhere. We is a tricky word. Who is the we that is involved in this? When I think about my own life, and I think about sharing and we, it often means we as in me and my wife. We share everything. We have the same bank account. We have, you know, I have no idea how much money I've made over our marriage, how much she's made, but we share everything. Our house, our name is both on the mortgage. We share everything. The we is my family. Does the we include somebody else? It likely includes my children, right? But I don't necessarily share everything with my children, but the we would be there. If you were to go and ask for a loan, would it be strange to go to a stranger to ask for a loan or to go and talk to a family member? Now, in reality, we do go and we ask strangers. We ask the bank, right? And they give us a loan. But through most of time, the we has been my family, my clan, my group. And in fact, it's still true in most places where there's no social safety net. The family is the we. And it has been primarily throughout almost all of history, that has been what we has been. But we as North Americans are weird, we're strange. Our we includes that, but it also includes strangers. If you were to look at the Amanda and Jeremiah in the book, they are that in the children, in the group of children, there are clearly people from different parts of the world. There are Africans, there are Asians, there are Europeans. There are lots of different places. And we sit here and we have that same kind of mixture in our midst. And we think that this is normal. And it is for us. And I think it's good that our we includes all of that. But that is different than what we has been for most of time in history. If you were to go to a place like Malawi, it is impossible for me to become a Malawian. There's no test to become Malawian. You are either born in this place into a certain group of people, or you're not. Those are your two choices. So I have friends who originally came from Greece to Malawi over 100 years ago. Well, they didn't, not them individually, but their families came. And they're not Malawian citizens. They continue to be Greek citizens. Same would hold true if you went to Japan. There are Koreans in Japan who were brought there before the Second World War, and they have never been able to become Japanese. So other countries, it's very difficult to become part of the we. because you're not part of the family. You're not part of the group. But we have this idea that we should all get along and be together. So perhaps it doesn't seem as radical to us about what the we in the story from Acts is. The we in Acts isn't my immediate family, nor is it Roman citizenship or some other kind of national identity. The we in the apostle story are the disciples. Whether you're rich or poor, needy or providing, whether you are Roman or Cyprian, whatever you might be, that is the we. This is a very radical idea that I think we may lose because we are a multicultural society. To include somebody that is not part of my group in my economic well-being has been dangerous because I don't know, I can't trust them, I don't know what they're going to do. It's foolhardy. What if they make the wrong decision? We're not connected by marriage, we're not connected by blood. How could I possibly intertwine my economic fate with those people? Yet the disciples do. We, say the disciples, we share everything. And when they talk about sharing, there's a difficulty to some extent in this. As Teresa noted, I spend a bunch of my time in Malawi, and one of the languages that's spoken there is called Chichewa. It's a Bantu language, so there's a bunch of Bantu languages that are, they have very similar constructions. But when you translate from Chichewa into English, that it doesn't always go one-to-one. And as you can imagine, Malawi being one of the poorest economic countries in the world, some metrics it's the fourth poorest country in the world, but whether you're the fourth or the tenth poorest country in the world, I'm not sure that it makes a huge difference. It's economically not well off. And so you can imagine that there are a lot of perhaps street children and a number of people who are asking for money. Because if I'm there, I obviously have money. It's a strange world when the minister is a rich person in the community. I don't want to say that too loudly before you have your annual meeting, but when they know that I don't speak Chichewa, so they'll ask in English, but instead of saying, give me money, or it's share me. Now, they don't really want me to share with them, right? They want me to give them money, and they're going to use the money. In my world, sharing implies I own a ladder. My neighbor needs a ladder. I share my ladder with my neighbor, and the ladder comes back to my garage at the end of the day, right? Sharing implies sort of a reciprocity, or that we are going to commonly put something together. We're sharing a meal together, right? We have a great example right here in our stained glass, right? We have, they're gathered together, they're sharing a meal together. You're going to bring your bag lunches, and you're not going to share them, are you? But they're going to be peanut free. But we do share our meals regularly with others. And there's this sense of reciprocity. But the sharing, when it's a child in Malawi saying, share me, it's more of an act of charity in some sense. For Amanda and Jeremiah, they have this amount of material that they have books, they have blocks, And there is a sharing, a reciprocity. I use this now and you use this later. We share this in common. But notice the story starts to get absurd as soon as we start talking about clothes. Because these are my shoes. I've always wondered, did Amanda and Jeremiah just happen to have the same size of feet? Like, how does that work? I could get the shirt, maybe. They could be really short on some, but, right? My shoes are not going to fit all of you. So when we start to get into the details of sharing, I do think that there's a difference between the idea that we are giving, sharing, and then it's done, and that there is this sense in which there's a reciprocity, there's a relationship that gets established, that is made more real. The disciples aren't practicing charity. There are no needy. It doesn't say there are no needy in the community. It says there are no needy amongst the believers. So they share. For those who have, they share, but there's also some sense in which in this ongoing relationship, there may be times when some are needy and some are not. That there is, over time, kind of a wash that happens in this sharing arrangement that goes on. It's not unlike what happens in many places where there's a social net that's tied to my family or my community. If I have a problem, then I turn to my friends, my family, and they help me out. With the understanding that if at some point I have something and they have need, that we will share. But do we share everything? It's a tricky idea. For those of you who are really big on capitalism, you're like, no, we don't share everything. But we also see that it isn't actually everything. We have to do remember a little bit of the context in which this passage in Acts happens. Acts is the story of the early church, and right before this part of Acts, the disciples are on the defense. They are quite literally brought into courts in order to defend themselves and their particular practices. They are not the powerful. They are not the ones who are getting to judge what other. They are the ones who are judged. And their response is that, yeah, you can judge us, but you have to know that we follow somebody who is above you and judges you. You can take away lives, they say to the authorities, but our God, he brings them back from the dead. Can you do that? They say. And you'll notice in this little passage that they didn't give up proclaiming that Jesus Christ was resurrected. That's what they were claiming against the authorities. That we have been given something that you cannot give us. We have been given the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they have this sense in which they are free. Now, admittedly, some of them also likely thought that Jesus was returning soon. And so there was likely a little less pertinence to investing for the long term. If you think that the world is going to end soon, then you don't need to contribute to your RRSP because you don't really think that you're going to be around for that. So there is a little bit of that going on. And as well, if we're being honest, we don't actually think that the disciples did all of this. That it's more aspirational than historical. So what are they aspiring to then? What I think that they're aspiring to is to be free to be able to put this world into perspective of the world that is around them and is to come. That Jesus Christ, who is a physical person in this world, died and by the power of God was raised again, and therefore they are going to be raised again, which makes this world seem not less important, but maybe in relationship to the bigger picture, they're a little bit freer to be able to share. They keep their properties, and as they are needed, they sell. We don't know whether the intention was that they actually buy or what the intention was. But the criteria that they used was, while we are serving a God who gives life, all should have life and the opportunity to flourish. So let's share everything that we have in order to make that happen. We share everything. Now, I hadn't really planned, when I was planning this worship a while ago, that you would be getting this memorandum of understanding on the same day that I was here. Hey, welcome. So it's not that I am trying to give a commercial for We Share Everything, because I really think that you need to have a partnership with St. David, St. Martin. But I do think that you need to prayerfully consider the stewardship of the resources that God has given you and the ways in which that might move into the future to witness to a God who resurrects. You need to make some decisions about who you are and who you are going to be. You already share a lot, and a lot has been shared with you over time. Right? We look around, dedicated to. We look around and we know that there have been saints in the past who have given and have said they don't get any benefit from this any longer. So they've shared. But even the construction of churches, you give to Presbyterian Sharing, you give to me. One of the reasons why I'm here is because you pay my salary. You don't know that, but in giving to Presbyterian Sharing, it goes into the Presbyterian pot, and it is then apportioned out onto the priorities and needs that we have decided as Presbyterians across the country that we want to support. And one of those things is a ministry in Malawi that I do. Not just that, but a ministry that is my colleague Joel Sherboneau does in the prisons. You feed prisoners in Malawi. You bring elders into the prisons in Malawi. By that I mean there are churches that the Presbyterian Church in Canada supports and has planted inside prisons in Malawi, with the idea that if we really believe that the gospel can transform, of course they should be in the prisons, because who needs transformation but those people? But they don't get to call a minister. I guess they could. That'd be quite a radical call. Committing some kind of offense so that you could go and be a pastor in the prison. So instead of calling people in, we raise them up. And we have an educational program that an organization I work with partners with the ministry that Joel Sherboneau does. Someday I'll be able to send you a video of these choirs. I went in and I was videoing choirs. There was no Latin involved, sorry, but there were about 25 different songs from 8 different choirs in 3 different prisons. And then testimonies. You have shared, and across the world, this is what's going on because of that. And if you don't think that those are the neediest of the needy, So you are already sharing, and a lot has already been shared with you. The questions that you're asking about partnership are, in what ways do we want to move into the future in sharing? How can we best use the things that God has given us so that those who are in need can be lifted up? And can we make these decisions free from fear? Because the disciples don't have fear. They have confidence, not in their own ability, but in the ability of God to act in their midst, both now and into the future. So, as Teresa says, the decision hasn't been made. You get to make the decision. But my prayer is that you're able to make the decision free from fear. Fear, or more accurately, that you can make the decision based in a confidence that God continues to raise the dead to life. That the we that you are thinking about is not just we that are gathered here, but we who are your brothers and sisters. And in what ways does sharing help you to live out your faith? We share everything. Amen.